word and talk about your word and teach your word, that truly we will be, as I mentioned earlier, pressed down, filled up, pressed down, and flowing over with godly wisdom, knowledge, insight, discernment. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over and over again, when I visit with churches, the comments are usually two. One being, we want more people to come to church. Have you ever said that here? Thank you. What's the second one? Come on, you know it. What's the second one? We want more people? That too. Well, that's people. But that's good. Younger people. Thank you. This lady knew. More money. Now, it's not to say that those two things are necessarily not needed. However, if we go about it, I'm going to be so bold as to say it. You invited me back, so I'm going to be bold. If we go about it the way the world goes about it, it will be ever thus. We'll keep hearing those comments over and over for centuries yet to come. That's why the sermon title today says, Embrace the Life of Jesus and Don't Run from It. When I was here last time, doesn't matter who I was speaking with, but that person will know, I stayed a little longer over at the Kirk Hall and talked with that person one-on-one. And we embraced each other's life. And every time I do that, I watch to see who God is going to draw close to me that day. If no one comes near me, I go to someone. And I watch and see how God will use us as we embrace His life. It makes it easier for us to embrace other people's lives. Don't be looking at your clock all the time. Oh boy, that minister is long-winded today. Or when we get over to Kirk Hall, well, come on, I got to wash the dishes and get out of here. Don't do that sort of thing. And it happens in every church. I see it all the time, and I just want to go over to that person and go like this. Because look at the life of Jesus. If we don't look at His life, you will never know what our real purpose is. We are to embrace all that He did. Jesus didn't have a watch on. He didn't look always, well, you know, it's getting near supper time. I better go and find the disciples and get them to make me a meal. He was available to anybody and everybody that needed Him. And that includes all of us. He's available right now for you and you and you and everybody here and everybody around the world. But we've got to step back and stop just seeing what we want, our individual needs, and think about ourselves all the time. I'm just as guilty as you are, okay? And I'm working very diligently to get rid of that. Because quite frankly, who's going to be drawn to a church when we only think about ourselves? There's people out there that are desperately, desperately hurting. The suicide rate, whew, through the roof. Because there's nobody that they feel comfortable enough to tell the truth to. So that means we've got to really change. Have a look at the life of Jesus. I put four little pictures in here today that tell a multitude of things about Jesus. The very first one, remember, we just went through what season? Lent. Thank you. Whew. Through Lent. And through Lent, we are to reflect on our lives. Repent of those things. Sometimes we think we're just a little above that silly, sinful repentance stuff. No, we're not. Each one of us in here is the very same. We get proud. We get self-sufficient. We get, well, I want it my way because after all. Don't do that. The way a church will grow and be so abundantly blessed is when we let go and do exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, day by day, went up into the mountain or the hills, somewhere quiet, to pray and ask his Heavenly Father what he wanted of him. The Word of God said earlier, he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And oh my, I put that middle picture in there, and I was afraid it might not come out too well in black and white, but where's my picture? What did I do with it? I ate it, I guess. Oh, well. That picture there is obviously a picture of Jesus on the cross. Now, what you might not be able to see is, I'm just looking for my picture. That's why I'm looking around like that. I had a larger, here it is. Oh, goody. See, people that sit up front get a better picture, better view of this. Okay? You can see. It's a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. So often I hear people, they come to Palm Sunday, and then they skip over and come Easter morning. If you don't understand the crucifixion, you will never understand Easter morning. It will only be this sweet little time when we hide Easter eggs or do whatever else we do. And when I was young, this room was, every woman's head was covered with an Easter bonnet. Right, Ruth? I remember. But it's not about that. Look at, if you can see the picture in your bulletin, there's a man embracing the life of Jesus. Now, I'm sure at that moment, Jesus' body was either sweating and clammy, and it was bloody, and it didn't smell very nice. But this man has put his arm around the midriff of Jesus and has his head pressed against his midriff. And his hand, if you look really closely, you will see is embracing the very blood that is dripping down the side of Jesus. He's not embarrassed. He's not running away. He's embracing a moment that is really, really hard. And you know what? The Bible tells us that we too, our flesh needs to be crucified. And I'm talking spiritually. It means those very tough moments when we've got a choice to wrap our arms around the crucified Christ. And we'd rather run. The disciples ran. All who knew him ran. Don't run. If you want to run, run to the Good Friday service. Get yourself a movie. I know it's gruesome. I can hardly bear to look at a film with the crucifixion of Jesus. It'll make me cry now. It rips my heart out to know what he did for you and for me and everyone in this world. And yet look at the world today. It's so arrogant and rude and so filled with pride. Look at me. Who's the foundation of the church? Come on, louder. Jesus. Who's the head of the church? Who died on the cross for you and me? So why aren't we embracing his life like we need to be doing? Don't get up in the morning and just almost die to get a hold of the newspaper to read it. Get the Bible out. Get that kind of urgency to read the Word. And don't just read one little verse. I'm in the middle of reading the King James Version, which we all kind of tend to avoid because of all the these and thous and whatever. But you know what? God said to me, go and read the King James Version. There are words in there that will bless you beyond belief. Take it easy. Ask God. Reveal the truth. Show me how to read this. I finished the New Testament again. I'm in the Old Testament, halfway through Genesis. And I am so being blessed by that obedience and that embracing of the Word of God. People out there need to see you on the street and notice something different about you. They need to see the glory of God. I keep saying that whenever I come. They need to see the glory of God. If they see us, oh gosh, you know, I'm just so busy. I haven't got time. Oh, so-and-so's off at the post office. I don't have time today. I'll get the mail later. Don't do those things. God is placing people in our lives every day so that we can touch them with His love, His passion, His compassion, His peace, His joy. A few weeks ago, I was at a church and there were two young women in their 30s. They talked through the whole sermon. And I mentioned it. And there were a couple that were annoyed with me, but that's all right. People can be annoyed with me. But I went to them afterwards, you know, and they knew. They apologized profusely. Oh, we haven't seen each other in so long. But, you know, God can turn something that can disturb us into something good, because one of them stayed behind and she asked me incredible questions about the life of Jesus. And I was so thrilled, because I wasn't annoyed, but you need to know, look, we're worshiping. Come on, guys. And they got it. But the wonderful thing was that because I was approachable, because they actually must have listened a little bit, because she did say to me, I really like the way you said that in the sermon today. And I thought, oh, good, you did hear something. But we've got to be approachable. We've got to be using tough love in that, come on, guys, you know better. But over here, love them, embrace them. In fact, they both hugged me and I hugged them. And then we talked and talked. And it was awesome to hear the heartfelt questions that this one woman had in particular. She actually was a reformed drug addict. I didn't know that. But because I didn't judge her, I went to her, I embraced her with the love of Jesus. She could share that with me. And now she's learning. She's been sort of catapulted to move on. If she meets one of us on the street and we think, I don't know. You know, I don't have time today. I'm busy. I got to get my groceries. That doesn't build a church. It doesn't build God's community. Every week we pray the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven we will be worshiping and praising and loving the Lord. And we get a new body. Wow. So look at the life of Jesus. Embrace the life of Jesus. Paul did. And so when I travel now to Philippians, we'll see here that, oh, this is awesome. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We've got to have the mind of Christ. How do you get the mind of Christ? See if anybody knows. How do you get the mind of Christ? Pray, read the Bible. Ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Be brave. I've done it. Lord, you say to me that I need the mind of Christ. So I'm asking you. I sit in my kitchen and talk all the time to God. It's my favorite spot. And I just, God, I need the mind of Christ. Let your Holy Spirit come in and show me how to change so that I can be better and better at knowing the life and the passion of Jesus. It's going to make a difference in the world today when we do these things. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, listen, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He could have flew into Jerusalem on this gold-studded chariot with silken satin clothing and with a crown of gold. But no, he got on a donkey. How many of us, if God said, I want you, yes, you, to get on a donkey today and ride into Niagara-on-the-Lake? See, we laugh. Why do we laugh? Well, heaven forbid, I'm not going to ride on a donkey. It might make a lot of noise and it'll be smelly. And it might do its business on the floor and everybody will laugh at me. Who cares if it's what the Lord Jesus Christ has asked you to do? Embrace the Lord's life. If you're feeling lost and alone and fearful and angry and frustrated, come on, we all have those days. Then you talk to Jesus about that. You admit it once in your life. Be so totally gut-wrenchingly honest that it hurts. Because it's in those moments that you will be set free. And finally, see the plan that God has for each of us in this wild world that we live in. There's so much to be had through Jesus Christ. I'll just finish up what it says here because it's really important about Jesus. Came in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The Bible tells us that we have a body, right? We walk around in that body. We have a spirit, which God wants to fill up with his. And we have a soul. Last time I was here, I mentioned what a soul was. What's our soul? Anybody remember? Don't worry. I tell my Bible study all the time and they can't remember. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Anybody have trouble with those three things? Yep. But the Bible says Jesus came to save souls. How awesome is that? Our minds, we rethink things over and over again. Our will, anybody here stubborn? And our emotions, my goodness, somebody can look at us sideways. Well, did you see what they said and did to me? And they didn't even do anything. That's our emotions. So you see, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is what's going to divide us from living in those emotions and thinking and rethinking and overthinking over to walking in the life of Christ. He let go, emptied himself, and gave his life to all of you and to me. So, the next time you feel one of those emotions coming on, watch your words, what you're saying to yourself as well, at home or in the car. Oh, yeah, the car. Be careful there when people cut us off, what comes out of our mouth. Think about the life of Jesus. Read the Bible. Read it like you would a wonderful book that you can't wait to get at. Once you read this and study it and know it, you'll be going there day after day after day, and nothing else will matter. Embrace the life of Jesus, for he loves you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you always give us something powerful to think about.